Well, hello, everybody. It is Mark again. And what's it been? A couple weeks since we talked and go away for a little bit and the whole world goes to hell in a handcart. So I was going to talk a little bit about some of what's happening in the news with this thing in Orlando and the lack of engagement from our politicians to do anything to maybe make us feel a little more secure in our homes and in our country. So stick around.
Hump day! Yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I'm a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
So I guess a few weeks ago, someone of unknown origin from Mars went into a nightclub in Orlando and miraculously killed 50-some people and wounded 50 more. And I say it was miraculous because I'm kind of curious how somebody walks into a nightclub in the summertime in Florida, dressed the way Floridians usually dress, carrying that much armament. I mean, we're talking a lot of clips. Now, I know a lot of liberals might think that that's pretty easy to do. Just carry in your Pulse plasma rifle with an endless supply of ammunition because you charged it off of your Prius the other day, and you can just shoot and shoot and shoot, and the rifle only weighs a couple ounces. No, these guns, when they're fully loaded, are quite heavy. Not because the gun is heavy, but the bullets, the part that goes bang. And so I look at it and go, what the WTF? Because there had to be more than one shooter. I mean, there had to be. Now, I'm not saying it's a false flag or any of that happy crap, because a lot of people got killed. And I guess that can happen under a false flag too. But for those of you that don't know what a false flag is, it's just when your government or some group that wants to get in control of things stages or creates an event and kills a lot of people or pretends to kill a lot of people if you're not nearby to see it. And then they turn around and go, look, it was those people. And then all of a sudden we're divided a little more. So I'm not sure, but I've been to a lot of nightclubs in my day. And also I've been in construction most of my life. And I've dealt with inspectors and fire marshals and police chiefs. And there's no way in hell that club had those doors all locked, chained locked, and maintained a certificate of occupancy. I mean, you might lock it up at night when you leave, chains and stuff like they do in schools so people don't break into the gymnasium. But anytime you're open, those doors must remain unlocked. Now, most of them have crash bars to where when you just push on them, the doors swing out. They can't even be designed to swing in. They need to be for panic, to where if everyone just shoves you against the door, you're not trying to pull the door open. You just fall through the damn thing. Now, the door remains locked on the outside. You can't come in from the outside. But if you're on the inside, you just push that panic bar, that crash bar, that lever. So there's no way that those doors can be locked, is what I'm saying. They're locked and you can't come in. But when you push on them, they open and you go out. Now, a lot of restaurants and nightclubs have alarms on those doors to where if you're going to dine and dash and you try to open that door, because all you got to do is push on it, an alarm goes off. And then they catch you and you pay for your dinner or do dishes or go to jail, whatever. So that's the kind of doors that are used on commercial buildings. And I'm sure in Florida, they have the same code as California, Nevada, Texas, and Oklahoma, states I've worked in. So those doors have been around forever. It's not like a new magic invention. So I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but we've all seen them. We know what they look like. Every movie theater, restaurant, nightclub, church, school, 7-Eleven and Circle K's even have them on their back door. So for them to be chained shut is odd and should cause some pause to think about that. So I'm assuming there was more than one shooter. What we haven't figured out is why our politicians, the stupid ones, want to blame gun owners and assault rifles. Now, assault is an action. You can be charged with assaulting a police officer, assaulting your neighbor, assault and battery. It's an action. So therefore, when you use a rifle to assault someone, you could call it an assault rifle, but it's just a rifle. It has nothing to do with the actions of the person pulling the trigger. And people need to understand that. What bothers me is our politicians are doing this to be divisive and to drive another wedge into the American psyche and get us even more divided. And it pisses me off because they work for us. We don't work for them. Their authority comes from us. What I don't understand is how somebody can sit there and go, I'm going to hold my breath until I die. You can't do that. You'll pass out. It's just stupid and childish. You cannot take away a right in the Constitution just because you're the President of the United States, because it is that Constitution that made you the President of the United States in the first place. It's what created the United States. The Constitution came before the federal government. It was the instrument, the document that created a federal government. And in that federal government, who runs it, how it works, the judges, the Supreme Court judges, the judiciary, the legislature, and the congressmen, and the president and the vice president, that's all spelled out in the Constitution. So if you do away with the Constitution, then in theory and in reality, you've done away with the office of the presidency. You've done away with the authority of all those ass clowns to even tell us what to do on a good day. So I don't think they're stupid, and I don't think they don't understand what they're doing. I think what they understand is we, the American people, are too stupid to understand that they can't do it. And so we're not going down the slippery slope. We have fallen down the slippery slope, and we just haven't hit the bottom yet. But I think this terrorist thing will start to be a trigger effect, because a lot of people are upset, and we're not going to sit idly by as people and allow a stranger to come into our home, our yards, our communities, our states, or our government and our country and start mucking things up. It's ours, not theirs. And so the politicians, as usual, are sitting there going, no, 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 you have to let these people come into your yard. Oh, no, no, you can't tell them not to get off your grass. No, you can't tell them to get their dog or their cat from peeing on your new grass. Oh, no, no, no. In fact, they have horses. The horses are going to eat your grass. No, no, you can't tell them no. And eventually people get fed up and something happens. Will that happen? I kind of hope not ever, because that will be horrible and it will be the destruction of America, because it will be like fusion. Once it lights, there will be hell to pay. And then because they've divided us so thoroughly that it will be every person for themselves, and people will just be killing people because of their color of their skin, because of their religion, because of the town they live in, because of the football team that you like, because of your economic status, the car you drive. Everything will be fair game, because the rule of law will have broke down and people will just go, whoa, it's like a shopping spree. It's just like mob rule. It's just like the flood in Katrina, and people are just breaking into Walmarts and stealing TVs. Why? Because they're not going to get caught. They're not going to get in trouble. They're not going to be prosecuted. Well, when when rule of law falls apart, it's the same thing. It was just in Katrina and New Orleans where that happened. Now picture it nationwide. And you think, well, it can't happen in the whole nation. No, you know, yeah, it can, because it can happen in your community. And if it happens in my community and the other guy's community, all within a few days, and then the police stay home because it's so dangerous, they're going to stay and protect their families. Now all of a sudden you have a Katrina times 1,000 because it's happening everywhere. And that's what it seems like is their end game. They want us to just kill each other. You know, why should they waste bullets killing us when all they got to do is create an issue, a problem, a trigger effect, a collapse, and we all just go crazy and kill everyone. And then what do? They come along and sweep it all up after about a year, and then they move in, and they're like, oh, now we're down to 10% of the Earth's population. Nice. We could start over, because they have the money. They were hiding in their bunkers while you and me were trying to feed our families and getting shot or shooting people. So I would say that this whole refugee thing is to create or foster resentment, and then they don't even have to create the false flag because they know that these Muslims don't like us. Now, the next thing that's kind of amazing is we're not going to call him a terrorist. It's not a terrorist act, and the president can't say those words without getting cooties, I guess. And I know that all Muslims are not terrorists, but I also know that all terrorists have been Muslim. So it pisses me off, because it's no different than saying all Boy Scouts are not Eagle Scouts, but all Eagle Scouts are Boy Scouts. So I try to draw a line here in comparison to this, because even Muslim leaders that aren't insane and crazy will say it's called extreme jihad, jihadist Muslims. They don't even have a problem with it being called that, because if you don't give it a name, you can't fix it. You just can't say, I have a problem and I don't eat much, without saying, I'm a crackhead and I'm always high on speed, so I don't eat, because they can't treat you. So how do you treat this? Because all of our leaders, and that is really a stretch of the imagination to call them our leaders in Washington, cannot seem to get their head around it and use the words. Now, I don't think it's because they're stupid. I think it's because it's part of their grand scheme to destroy our nation from within. I said it. I don't know why other patriots can't say it, because that Obama's not a fool. All this is planned. We, the patriots, refuse to look at it and go, oh my God, they're trying to screw us. No, we look at it and go, how stupid can they be? While they're actually laughing at us and going, how stupid can those patriots be? We have told them time and time again that we're not on the Constitution's side. So we as Americans need to get our head around this just as much as we accuse our politicians of getting their dopey ass heads around what's going on with this refugee problem, because we're being invaded. And what happened in Orlando was just another one of those things, to where it was a Muslim. He hates us. Not all of them hate us. He did, and killed a bunch of people. And now they want to blame gun owners and the NRA. As if. I mean, that's like blaming the Girl Scouts because you're overweight, because you keep buying their cookies. And half the time, you're eating other cookies. It's not even their cookies. So it's the stupidest thing. But then once again, see, we as patriots and gun owners are like, are they that stupid? You know, why do they keep blaming gun owners? Hello, wake up, because they want to, because it's all part of their plan to destroy us from within. Once again. So, you know, a bunch of people died for no reason, and it sucks. And what really sucks about it is those poor people, can't even say they died as part of a good thing, because their death is being swept under the rug of gun control and gay rights and Muslim rights. Which, you know, if I'm going to die, I would at least like the news to go, those people that killed him are scum. Then I would feel like I had accomplished something with my miserable life. So 50 people were murdered by a scumbag or two or three. And I think calling the terrorist terrorists and giving them the big old American bird kind of gives them some honor, because they were part of an attack. Of course, they were all minding their own business, but they died. They're dead. Now, I've been watching a show. I've watched it a couple times. It's not a show, but it's a documentary called The Third Jihad. And it's about Muslims' plans to just, you know, basically overthrow America. I mean, they come right out and say it. It's not like it's a surprise. You know, if you go into a Chevy dealer, odds are he wants to sell you a Chevy. Is that a shocker? No. So they're saying, we don't want to kill you. We just want America to be Islam and under Sharia law. And, you know, I'm sure 70% of America is like, oh, it's fine. Just leave me alone so I can, you know, watch the Kardashians. It's like that movie Idiocracy, where they're standing around scratching their balls all the time and eating that whatever it is and drinking Brando. And they're too fucking stupid to realize that the enemy is not at the gate. The enemy is already past the gate. It's already among us. Our leaders are allowing them to be among us. And meanwhile, while we point fingers at our politicians, accusing them to be stupid, they're laughing at us because we are the ones that are stupid. Now, watching The Third Jihad, it kind of made me wonder about something. And, you know, Zudi Jasser, he's a good Muslim. He's not crazy. He's actually trying to help us fight the radicals by helping us with insights and information. But I'm thinking, how do you be a Muslim, even a normal, good Muslim that loves America and has a job and pays your taxes, and follow the Quran, when the Quran says that there will be worldwide Sharia and Islam in the story? That's what it says. So if you're a Muslim, that's your end goal, right? That's it. That's what you want. Now, they're not radical. They're not trying to kill people, but they do want Sharia law because they believe in the Quran. So I'm going to get back on track about what I was talking about is if you're a Muslim, you might not be a radical, an extremist. You might not be the person that will honor killings and killing your daughter because she didn't wear a headscarf. You might not be the extremist, but you believe in the Quran. And the Quran says that Sharia law has to be in all four corners of the earth, however it words it. They want Islam, sea to shining sea, everywhere, the whole world, all the people, all the countries, all the towns, all the cities, all the homes, everything, Muslim. Well, then you really are supporting the terrorists. Because, see, yeah, not all Muslims are terrorists, but not all Christians are missionaries. Not all of this church don't dance. Not all the people in that church do this. Like I said, not all Boy Scouts become Eagle Scouts. Not all Girl Scouts sell Girl Scout cookies. But they want everyone in America to buy a Girl Scout cookie. If you're a Muslim and you believe in the Quran, then you believe that the world must be ruled by Sharia law and everyone must be Muslim, or pay their taxes, or whatever the end game is. So therefore, if that is your end goal, and I am against it, then me and you are at odds. Just the same as if I expect an end result, and just because I'm not the one that will go out and blow something up to get that end result, doesn't mean that I don't support it, because in my mind, or in your mind, the ends justify the means. So stop telling me that, oh, not all Muslims are terrorists. I don't care, because all Muslims want to dominate the world. They just don't want to do the legwork, but they'll go out and have a bunch of kids. So stop the bullshit. Now I'm gonna take this off, even though, I mean, it was kind of, you know, we're talking about the Orlando, Florida thing and how those people were killed and the complete letdown by the leaders and now the media. And it's all just bullshit. I don't even know why I watch it, because all I'm going to do is get spoon-fed a bunch of horse shit from a bunch of lying media types and politicians who don't give two shits about my safety or those people in Orlando at the Pulse Club safety. They don't give a shit about you and I. So I'm going to take a break and talk a little bit about Doomsday Depot, where you can go get all your apocalyptic stuff, because I'm not a paranoid person, but by the looks of things, things could get ugly, and you might need to have enough food or supplies or gear to make it a week or two or three before the lights come back on, or whatever happens. So, I'll be right back.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values too. Find what you need at doomsdaydepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need, and learn more at prepperguy.com too.
Okay, so we've been talking about Orlando, Florida, and the shooting, and our politicians, and the crazy terrorists, not all the Muslims, just the crazy ones. And then we were talking a little bit about religion. Now, I don't know about you, and maybe you're not a religious person, and that is totally okay. But see, in America, we like free agency. We like the ability to choose for ourselves. So like if you want an iPhone, then you go buy one. And if you want it in pink or blue or khaki or camo or stainless steel or titanium, you go buy one. And if I want an Android, I go buy one. Because see, we're free to choose. Now, I personally believe that that was the overall big plan from the Creator. Whoever he is, don't get caught up in the semantics of his name. And I think without freedom of choice, you can't make mistakes, and then therefore you can't be judged for it. See, how can you be held accountable for your actions if you're not allowed to make any actions? And in business, this is called theory X, theory Y type of management, where, you know, theory Y, I always remembered it as like, hey, why not? And theory X is just like, no, you can't do that. You have no latitude or freedom to move left or right. You follow the team. You follow the rules, and you don't think outside the box. And it's very dogma based. Well, I believe life is that way everywhere. If I'm free to choose, then I'm also free to make bad choices. And then the Creator, whoever or whatever, can then judge me and go, you still need a little work because you're still a dopey bastard. But in some religions, there is no free agency, no free choice, nothing. You do what they tell you to do or you're going to hell. End of story. Well, I choose not to believe in a God or higher being as being a prick like that. I think he would want us to grow. Based on the way he runs things around here, let's just assume Adam and Eve is a true story and he put us here and he's like, bye. And we really haven't seen hide nor hair of the guy. And you could disagree. I really don't care. But nobody has really talked to him other than in their prayers and in their mind. But he's never came out and really spoke to the masses since Jesus did that. Because see, Jesus was here on earth. So we don't really know what the big plan is, and we can buy into all the religious stuff you want. I mean, you can You can pick a religion like you can pick a hamburger off a menu nowadays. So whatever you like believing in, I'm sure there's a church out there that you can follow. Now, if there's some rules to life and the supreme being, then I don't think it would be as easy as just going to McDonald's and buying a hamburger. But since it seems to be that way with most people, that they go, I'm a member of this church because I like doing this and that. And somebody else is like, well, we believe that's wrong, but we do that and this. Oh, then what you're telling me out of these 10, 20,000 religions in the world, that either God has multiple personalities and has no rules, or he just doesn't give a shit what we do as long as we try to be better, to where if we get judged, which everyone seems to believe that happens, he can look at you and go, why did you do that? And if you go, well, I really didn't do it. My church made me, quite literally made me do it. Then how do you get judged for that? Is that too deep or stupid or sarcastic? I don't know. So I know a lot of people don't like talking religion, and I try to find some common ground in it, because most religions believe there's a God and that there is a judgment and a reward or a punishment. Now, that's pretty much consistent through 99% of all religions on earth. I mean, there's a reason why Buddhists won't kill a bug. I think it's Buddhist, because it's one of God's creations. So a lot of things are God's creation. So if you kill it, then what? That means there'll be a punishment or a reward. So I'm trying to strip it down to a basic underlying premise here, that there's something out there. And based on the way we live our lives, that thing is going to judge us, and there'll be a reward or a punishment. Now, you could boil down all those religions into that. So how can there be a reward or a punishment if you are not given free agency to be a total screw up or a total saint? So free agency seems to be an underlying principle that would work, because if you're that supreme thing out there, and you're going to judge people, because there must be a judgment before there can be a reward or a punishment. And you can't be judged if you're being told what to do. Now, if you're of a religious mind, to where you believe that there was a war in heaven, which a lot of religions believe that too, and Jesus and Satan, you know, had their little disagreement, and Satan was cast down here on earth with a third of the host of heaven, which is probably a crap load of people that came with Satan or Lucifer, whatever you want to call them. I so don't care about names when you're talking religion, because that's how wars get started. So when you want to think about a third of the host of heaven, well, I would think it would be Satan's group that are cast down, and then all the ones that were remaining, which would be everyone that has been alive since Adam and Eve until the second coming. So was it that's like a trillion people? I don't know. So let's say it's 10 people. So to find out how many people Satan had, you have to divide that 10 in half. So it's 5, 5, and then Satan's 5. So that makes a total of 15, because Satan had 5 of them, and then 2/3 came here over the span of Adam and Eve until this experiment ends. So that's a lot. If a trillion people have been born and died on earth since the beginning of time until the end of time, that means that 500 billion people are here all the time screwing with us, because that was Satan's job. So the odds are kind of stacked against us. Now, in that war in heaven, the main premise, because I wasn't there, I was there. Well, we were all there, supposedly, but we don't remember. We have amnesia. So from what scriptures and Dead Sea Scrolls and quite a bit of religion tells us is it was basically based on free agency, which we talked about, and it does seem to make sense that that would be important. So basically, Jesus said, well, we're gonna let them be on earth, and we're going to try to teach them some correct things to do. We'll give them a few guidelines. And then if they don't do it right, but they try, I'll pick up the slack through my atonement. Basically, you try to pay the check while you're alive, and if you come up short, Jesus said, I got this. You know, as long as you tried to pay the check, he'll pick up the rest. He'll pick up the tab, okay? That's simple enough without getting all into the religious, you know, words and these and thous. And then Satan went, well, no, I have a better plan. Why don't I just force them all to do the right thing, and then the glory can be mine because I got all these souls to do exactly what we wanted. Well, we kind of know how that turned out because Satan got cast down here and Jesus was atoned, you know, and crucified to atone for our sins. And so I think Jesus won that one out. I don't know if there was really a victor because Satan got cast down here and he's still trying to make us do the right thing. And Jesus came down and was crucified. And so he atones for our sins. So once again, we have a choice. See, isn't that cool? So now we can pick more because that helps us with the judgment. And Lucifer, Satan's guys don't get to hang out and talk with us that much. So they can't, you know, force us to do the wrong thing. They're bound by, I guess, some heaven rule. So Mark, what does all this shit mean? Well, when I look at religion, which one gives me more free agency? And I think Christianity, Judaism, most of the standard religions out there all kind of say, you know, here's some rules. Don't be an asshole because God's going to judge you. And then we try. And then there is one religion out there that says you do it this way or we will beat you, behead you, kill you. There must be Sharia law. There is no tolerance for gays. There's no tolerance for any of this stuff. Doesn't that sound an awful lot like what Satan was talking about? Like, I'm just going to make them do the right thing. I will force them to be good people, and then I want all the glory. Because it sounds like when you listen to the Muslim religion, the greatest person since sliced bread was Muhammad, who wrote this book, and Allah. Seems like all the glory is theirs. Whereas in Christianity, you're expected to glorify God, but you're not demanded to do it. So when I consider the two plans, I mean, if any of this stuff is even true, I'm going to go with the Christians because they allow me to make my own mistakes without flogging, beating, and beheading me. And I'm going to pass on the Muslim religion because it is a tyrannical, controlling, manipulative, accept no weakness religion. It's Satan's plan, straight up. So I'd have to ask a Muslim like Zudi Jasser, why do you believe in this religion? Because whether you're a radical or not, your end goal is to take away my free agency, and that is Satan's plan. And then I can't be judged so that I get a reward or a punishment, and then Satan wins by foiling God's plan of judgment and atonement. So I know that's a lot of religious stuff, and most people nowadays don't like that religious shit. I kind of do, but I'm not a go-to-church kind of person because I believe totally in my free agency. I believe totally that God just wants us to be good people, and then he'll pick up the tab. And I've read enough religious documents, some as old as 5,000 years old, the thick black theory that was written in Asia 5,000 years ago. It was written before the Art of War. It talks about religion. And then you read the Dead Sea Scrolls. Obviously, it talks about religion. And then you read the Bible and the Torah and the Quran and all that. And you know what? You find similarities in all of them. But out of all those similarities, you might only find three or four principles that are exactly the same, no matter how far back in time you go and no matter what language it was written in. And that is what I believe is the two or three witnesses that prove that God is real. And everything else is just religious legal mumbo jumbo. So I choose my own religion, which is I love whoever that is up there and the fact that I have life. And my goal is just to be a little better person than when I die, as I was when I started. And that's all that I've ever seen that was really asked of me. And everyone else just wants to heap a lot of shit on it and then fight about what God's name is. It's like, if he wanted us to know, he could write it in the sky for every day we could look up and see it. And that way we wouldn't forget. Another interesting fact about Lucifer or Satan, much, much scripture about before, Satan was cast down. He was called the morning star. Oh, kind of like the crescent and the star. And they're always looking to the east of the morning sun. So I don't know if that's all just happy horse shit, and I don't care. What I do care about is a bunch of yahoos, like in Orlando, killing people all because they got an axe to grind and they're pissed off. And I understand why they're pissed off, because America and our foreign policy sucks. And we are always trying to force people to be a fucking democracy, which we are not a democracy. We are a republic. So these people in the Middle East, they actually probably invented the word republic and democracy. And they're even going, we don't want a democracy, you stupid people. Maybe if you offered us a republic, we might buy what you're selling. But right now, we don't want it. So why don't we come home and quit fucking with them? But no, we're not gonna, because once again, we are governed by asshats in Washington that don't give a crap if you or me or your 50 friends in Orlando, Florida, or at Fort Hood, or anywhere else in California, or in a town near you coming soon, gets killed, because the politicians do not care about you and me. We are not part of the equation. They are not stupid. While we're running around working and paying their checks and giving them the authority to act in our name, making enemies around the world because the rest of the world thinks that our politicians do what we want them to do, so that's why they hate us. They're doing that while we're running around working so all this could get paid for. They're selling our country down the toilet, and probably quite literally selling it to other hostile nations just so they can buy a bigger golden parachute. So what I see happening is hopefully some kind of collapse, because then we can just get rid of them all by virtue of attrition. They'll just go away because they're snakes and they'll leave when there's a fire. Well, that's about as far as I can go down that rabbit hole. I hope the talking about religion so lightly or casually does not offend people, or me using the F word once in a while. Quite literally, I don't know what to talk about sometimes because I am so fed up with the crap that we're hearing on the news and from our media and from our politicians. There's a game afoot and we haven't been invited. We don't know the rules and we're just the fans paying the bill. And when it all shakes out, I'm pretty sure you and I are going to be the ones that get screwed and left holding the bag. And so it's aggravating. This is why I'm a prepper, because I know eventually they're going to mess something up. It's going to quit working. It's going to run out of gas. And I don't want to be left high and dry, expecting my water to work, my electricity to work, or anything else in this country to work, because they're going to mess it all up. And they don't have to do the messing it up. They now have the people coming into this country that hate us and will mess it up just for shits and giggles. because they hate us. And then meanwhile, they're stealing all our land. They're just doing whatever they want. And we're letting them do it. So we can all talk about how much we hate the politicians and how stupid they can be. But in all honesty, we're the stupid ones. We're the ones getting taken advantage of. And in the end, we'll be the ones that lose.
Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this show. I hope I brought something to the table for you all. As always, go to prepperguy.com, read the show notes, and run over to YouTube. Check out my channel every once in a while. I'll have a video out there, and sometimes I do the whole episode as a video. And then also, for all your prepper needs, go to doomsdaydepot.com. That's doomsdaydepot.com for any end-of-the-world supplies you may need. Other than that, I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you later. As always, enjoy the apocalypse.